Today's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So I grew up in Miami, Florida in the 80s. So that was the time of Miami Vice, just to give you like a mood. But I was very fortunate that my grandparents had a house in Blue Ridge, Georgia. That is where they lived, in North Georgia and the Blue Ridge Mountains, obviously. They lived right on the Toccoa River. And so that is where I spent every summer, which could not have been more radically different than my life in Miami. My time there in Blue Ridge was, it was fantastic and also very introspective. I spent a lot of time on my own running through the woods and being down at the river because there were no other kids around. We only got one channel on the TV there, and only sometimes it came in. Do y'all remember that, when you used to only have like a couple channels? And we didn't have air conditioning. I mean, it was super rustic, but wonderful. And so when it would get hot, I'd be in the river. I knew that river like the back of my hand. I knew every place where there was a bend, every place where it was calm and deep, every place where there was a rock just below the surface that might knock you off your inner tube if you weren't paying attention. So it was no surprise when my grandmother's friend asked if I would take some of her friends down the river. They were coming to visit, and they just wanted a relaxing, scenic day going down on inner tubes, and she asked if I would guide them, and also they were all nuns. Oh. Yeah, oh, yes, a plot twist. So, all right. I agree to do this, but I don't want to overplay the drama of this story because the Toccoa River, there are parts of it that are like a wild, raging whitewater rafting adventure, but that's not where I was. Most of the part of the river that I was in was pretty lazy, really perfect for this kind of day on the river sort of thing. But there were places, there were a couple spots where you couldn't see them coming, but where people had been thrown off their tubes by rocks, you know, places that glaciers had cut millions of years ago. And there had been lots of injuries. There were people who had been swept away and didn't live to tell about it. So those stories like echoed through the mountain, and my grandmother would let me play in the river, but she always was telling me, you know, all the terrible things I had to look out for. And so the locals would always say, and this, most of these locals are like 50 or 60 years older than I was at this point, they would always say, the thing you have to remember is if the river starts to take you, you don't fight it. You just have to relax, you hold on to your tube, because the river doesn't want you, it wants to spit you out. It'll take you to the other side if you don't fight. You just gotta hold on. All right. So there I was, I'm like 12-ish years old. Here show up my three nuns. Two of them are probably like my age now, but one of them is easily like 80 something, easily. And she, I mean, you could tell that she was probably super athletic and adventurous in her younger years, but now all the fat had melted off of her. She had kind of a hunchback. She had long, you know, skinny arms and legs, great big blue eyes. She was ready to go. So we went off, and it was great, totally uneventful. We had this lovely day. The sun shone, the water was calm. They loved it. They would giggle as we went over little rapids and things. It was just what they were looking for. And I, because I, of course, was, you know, a very experienced river guide at this point, I would tell them, you know, I'd give them all these little hints. Don't forget, if the river starts to take you or something happens, you just hang on. So as we get ready to disembark, I see my grandmother and her friend there at like our exit point. So I tell these ladies, I'm like, all right, we're gonna start paddling to the left, start paddling to the left. And two of them do, and my older nun cannot. She just, the current is too strong for her. So she starts to get pulled and the wrong way and really fast. And I know what's around the bend, which is unfortunately a place where it really will just throw you right on off your tube. I mean, you will go flying. So I'm panicking, and I look down at her. She's floating away, and she's perfectly serene, and I am really panicking because I'm thinking, like, oh, my Lord, what am I going to do if this nun drowns? Like, what am I going to tell my mother, my grandmother, and God? So I, of course, abandon my tube. I am, like, rushing down this river. I am totally panicked, and I get to her. I am out of breath, I'm all banged up, and she is safely on the far bank. And she looks at me and she says, I did just what you said. I held on to my tube. So that was the day that I had absolutely nothing to do with saving a nun's life. But I've often thought about that moment. Like, why did she not panic? Was it because she had no idea what danger lay ahead of her? Or was it because she had just accepted that she could not control that situation? I have often wondered if it was her faith that carried her safely to the other shore. And our scripture reading today is Isaiah 43. We didn't read this whole part, but the whole part before it is God is reminding the Israelites of all the ways in which they have been disobedient to him. And now they are in exile in Babylon. And these people have lost everything. They have lost their land. They have lost their cultural identity. A lot of them are now being forced to go by like Babylonian names. They don't even retain their, you know, the kind of foods that they would eat that are no longer available there, the familiar names, all of these things. And of course, including, they're in a place that does not recognize their God. And these are people who truly believe that as they look around their lives, these are not the lives that they were expecting. They feel even their children have been robbed of what God had promised them. Nothing has gone for them the way that they planned or the way that they expected it to go. Nothing. Everything is completely out of their control as they live under this foreign military power. But then in Isaiah, God speaks to his people, and this is what Isaiah writes. But the Lord says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. I think it's important that we recognize when the Bible talks about waters, it's not talking about the on the waters, like I was saying in the beginning, like, do you like to float in the pool? Waters for the Israelites, for all ancient Near Eastern people, water is a symbol of hostility, of danger. It's much more like those raging rivers that we have seen in the last month or so. That's the kind of water that they imagine when they talk about waters and when God says, I will walk through the waters with you. So when these Israelites who are exiled in Babylon hear this word of the Lord, they can't help but think about their previous exile when they were in Egypt. They can't help but think of another time when their disobedience had walked them right into exile, but God had saved them. This other time when they were caught between an army and an ocean, and God had made a way for them, not because they were worthy of it, not because they had suddenly become so obedient, or they were so faithful, or they were so strong, or anything because of them, but because of who God is, and because they belong to God. So now, here they are again, in exile in Babylon, and God reminds them, do not fear, you are mine. And that's a great comfort to them, because the Israelites know who they are because they know who God is. Their entire lives, their whole culture, every part of their lives, in a way that is very difficult for us to fathom, where we have like our work life and our church life and our family life and these kind of things. For the Israelites, that is all one thing. God is a part of every aspect of their lives. God is the central controlling figure of their narrative of who they are and every part of the lives they lead. So to hear again that they belong to God is a comfort. So what about us? Who are we? And what is our story? How does God fit into the story that you are telling yourself? Is God there to make sure that our lives go smoothly? To make sure that things are easy for us? Do we have prayer so that we can let God know how he should handle things? When things go off course in our lives, when we are faced with senseless tragedy, when things that we have no control over and that make no sense to anyone end up at our doorstep, what is the story that we tell ourselves? Because the Bible does not say that everything happens for a reason. But that doesn't mean that there's not a story to tell. The story is of a God who has shown us exactly who he is. A God of love, a God of grace, a God who said to us in sending his son Jesus, I will pay any price for you. I will stop at nothing to redeem you. That is a God who says, I will walk with you right through these waters. Let the hurricane roar around you, I am here. So much of our collective and individual anxiety and stress and fear and everything is a result of our deep knowing that we are not in control. We are not in control. It is a part of being human that you do not have control. And that is scary. We make all kinds of plans, right? We have all sorts of plans about the way we will have the right relationships and we will have the right careers and we will listen to the right advice about parenting and about our health and follow the advice of good doctors and all of these things. And still, life slips through our fingertips. And when that happens, how do we respond? Some of us tighten our grip on things. We impose our will more forcefully. We pray for God to do a magic trick, and we insist on doing the heavy lifting ourselves. Sometimes we just give up. But that is a life of fear. That is a life of fear. And God has said to us, do not fear, for I am with you. So what do we do? What do we do when these terrible things happen all around us that we cannot control? We remember who God is, who God has told us he is, and that way we can remember who we are. We are a redeemed people. God has called us by name. Each of us, God has called you by name. And God has promised not that he is going to keep the waters from you. God has promised that he will be with you through them. So you can choose fear, or you can choose belief. You're human, which means you're not in control. And that is a scary story. But belief tells a totally different story. Belief tells a story of a God who does not abandon us, a God who loves us even when we fail, a God who walks with us, not around those waters, but right through them with us. So that nun did not fight, she didn't panic, she just held on to her tube. And maybe you find yourself today in the midst of a raging river. If you don't, you will again soon enough, because that's the world in which we live. We live in a world of chaos. We live in a world where there are currents pulling in every direction. And so we can all very easily live in fear. Or you can choose belief. Because God will be with you no matter. You just hold on. Amen.